Hello everyone and welcome back to PSC. It's Phone Show Chat number 870 and it's almost in the middle of October 2025 and Joe is here with me today as always. Hello Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, yeah, ticking along nicely. And this time our guest is Irfan Ali, of famous name in the MeWe groups and very active in our Projector Room MeWe group and podcast as well. So hello, Irfan, and welcome to you.
Good evening, Joe. Good evening, Ted.
You've been on a couple of times before, but not on the new look PSC. That's right, isn't it?
That is correct, yes. This is my first time on
great
the new
stuff.
Look.
Good stuff. Okay, we'll come to you just in a second before we just run through the furniture, which is that the phoneshowchat.uk is our website. And there's two S's in the middle of that. Sorry, but it's phoneshowchat.uk. There's also links to all of the stuff that I do, we do, the team does at tedsalmon.com. So if you get lost, you can go there. And there's the MeWe group, of course, the PSC and MeWe group. Links in the show notes to all of that stuff. Let's get to Joe and the London pub meet.
Yes, so the poll has finished and it's not an October pub meet, it's going to be a November one. Drum roll. It's going to be November 1st, Saturday, November 1st, because we had 5 people vote for that and 2 people voted for a Saturday or Sunday in November. So there could be 8 of us, including me. Exciting
good
times.
What are you going to do?
Well, I need to sort out the specifics of it now. I still want to do a photo walk for people that are interested in that side of it and then end in a pub. I've realised you can actually create an event on MeWe, which is a nice feature, so
yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah, I've looked at that before and I've thought about it and I thought, it's in order to do that, you're going to have to train everyone how to use it. And I shied away from it in the end. Perhaps you should pilot it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay. Right, okay then, so watch this space for that one. So, straight in with Irfan, and tell us a bit about yourself, Irfan, where you're from, how old you are, what you do for a living, and the floor's yours, really. We'll chip in as we go.
Thank you very much. So, good evening, everybody. I'm Irfan. I'm 53 years old. I've been a guest on previous 2 occasions, so people may remember me. And my daily job consists of working for one of the big 4 banks. I work as a quality engineer. I've been in the IT game for over 20 years, mainly in the insurance and banking sector. So I have a lot of experience in these areas, and I've seen how IT has made a big impact on this area, you know, coming over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, their job consists of AI push. The bank are heavily investing in the AI infrastructure now. So my daily job consists of just, I'm an engineer by trade for testing, but my main job is actually helping other engineers in the bank using the various tool sets we offer. So I do things like performance testing, I do compatibility testing, security testing, all those tools that we have in the bank. I basically help engineers use them to the best abilities and implement them into their projects. So yeah, well, in terms of, I do coding, I do hands-on, I do people management, I do everything.
Right.
Every day is different for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereabouts? Cool. Whereabouts is that? Where's your base? You don't work from home, presumably.
I do. I mean, I'm quite lucky in that I can work from home because my office is literally 50 minutes from my house. But I live in Halifax, West Yorkshire, which, as everybody knows, is God's best country and own country. So I have a lovely scenic view from my balcony while I work and helping people around the world.
Great. Cool. Okay. What about your phone background? You probably did this before when you were on, but let's remind us.
I did phones. I've had phones since day one. I don't know. Joe might be too old to remember the Mars Bar phone, which was one of the ones that first came out in the day.
The Sony.
The Sony, yes, exactly. And then obviously Nokia came to the fore. So I had a Nokia 1610, which was the one that you could walk over, run over and drive over, and it still worked. And then I've had Siemens. I've had all sorts. But my favorite ever phone was a Nokia 6310. It was touted as a business device.
Yeah.
With a light blue screen. It was the first time a phone had a blue screen instead of the standard green. In a silver finish. It was I loved that phone. It was beautiful. One charge of the battery, Joe, will get you at least 2 weeks easy.
It was a top seller, that one, wasn't it? I believe
I loved it. I mean, I look on sometimes on eBay and I think, shall I get one just for nostalgia's sake? But I just And I think, nah, what's the point? We'll just sit in a draw, probably. And then when smartphones came to the fore, I did dabble with iOS, initially jumped in with a 3GS. And obviously then I moved towards Android because I like to tinker. I like to install custom ROMs. I like to get the best bang for my buck out of a device. I did jailbreak the iPhone when I had it, install the Cydia Marketplace and things like that way. But then I just navigated towards Android because it was much more easily rootable. And I've just been Android ever since. Mm-hmm. I love them. Big app. Big Samsung fanboy. Obviously, TouchWiz wasn't very good when it first came out, but I grew to love it. And then obviously when One UI came out, I loved it. And obviously my last big purchase was a S24 Plus, which I really liked. I kept it for over a year, which for me is unique because I don't keep phones that often. I get bored quite easily.
Yeah.
But I kept it over it. Sorry.
I was just going to say that this is the one that you had just recently sold to me, and it's now by my left hand here. So, yes, it's gone to a good home.
I'm glad it's gone to a good home. So, yeah, I just got a bit bored. I thought, you know, let's get something else. And obviously I've seen fellow members like Gavin and others get the Xiaomi devices list as one. So I managed to pick up a Xiaomi 13T Pro for a very good price.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of £100, to be honest with you, which is nothing. And I've had it, a couple of weeks now. And I mean, I used to love my Xiaomi Mi 11, had it back in the day before I moved to Samsung. But it's a great device. It basically does everything. I mean, I wasn't keen on how HyperOS would work because I was obviously used to the MIUI interface they had. But it's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I've never had a Xiaomi device. And obviously comparing to your beloved One UI,
yeah.
How would you say HyperOS is? Is it good? Yeah. Or
It's good. It's not as polished as One UI. One UI's got a lot of good functionality, like it's got the routines things built in, and it's a bit more slicker is One UI. But having had a Xiaomi before, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure, as I said, with HyperOS, but I found it to be actually not good as One UI, but manageable. I mean, I'm not complaining about it not doing this, that, and the other, and I'm actually enjoying using it. And it's basically the phone does everything I wanted to do, and the camera. I mean, I've never had a phone with a Leica camera, and I actually was lucky enough to get this phone the day before I went on holiday, and I spent all week using it, taking photos. And
oh, nice.
Some of the shots that came out, I was like, I'm just amazed. For a phone that's, a couple of years old? Top quality photos. I was so happy with it. I mean, and in my opinion, I think the photos it takes is better than probably what the S24 would have taken. But I enjoy using it. I mean, it's by my side now. Big enough screen for me, and I think I'll be keeping it for a while now. I think
did you get the photography kit?
No, this is the one with the standard lens on the back, but it came with all that.
Oh, okay.
Hyper fast charge and everything. I'm not too keen on the ones with the photography, to be honest with you, Ted, because I take photos, but I'm not a keen photographer.
Right.
So I just like to have a nice device to use for what I need, and then
if I
need to snap the occasional picture, I do enjoy it.
That was Ultra, wasn't it? Not the Pro.
Yes,
the Ultra, okay, correct. Yep.
But the 13T Pro, it's. I'm really glad I bought it. Actually, I'm really enjoying it.
I had a phone, a Xiaomi, some years ago, and I really couldn't get on with. At the time, it was MIUI, and I just detested it. I really, really didn't like what they'd done with over the top of Android. Maybe HyperOS is better. I was making some noises recently about trying to get one in to have a look at. And maybe it's better, particularly now that I've got used to what Honor do and what OnePlus do. And I had a time with an Oppo as well. So maybe I'll be more forgiving of a different skin now. So perhaps I should.
I mean, Xiaomi's always had aggressive battery management when it comes to apps, like shutting things down, not getting notifications through. But it's becoming easier to manage on the devices now. I'm finding that all my notifications come through, and it works for me, and I'm happy with it, you know. Can't really complain.
Good.
Sounds promising to me. Yeah.
And going back to the Samsung thing, my love hate thing with Samsung is well documented on PSC over the years. If I don't have one, I want one, and when I've got one, I get annoyed that I'm baked into what Samsung are doing, and I want to be open. And I usually end up putting the Samsung down and opening up my Fairphone or something, and then going right the way back. And then it's kind of rinse and repeat. And I keep selling Samsung phones and then saying, no, I want to have one here, and then get one back in. But, you know, I just find that I don't want to be locked into an ecosystem like that. And so I end up kind of rejecting it. Except my exception, of course, is Google Pixel.
Yeah, I myself had the Pixel 7 Pro when it first originally launched. And I did like it, but it was a good device. It took some great photos, but I didn't fall in love with it, which is why then I decided, you know, I'm just going to move to Samsung. Let's just get Samsung and let's take it from there. Because at that time, Samsung were really pushing it. I was going to get an Ultra phone, but in the past, I've had phones with styluses, and I always think I'll use a stylus every single day. And it lasts about an hour, and then the stylus goes away, never to be come out again.
We'll come to that with Joe shortly. I totally get what you're saying about that. And there's something about Samsung which is just like, I know that it does everything you could possibly want it to do, but I just shy away from it, and I don't want to be locked in. When I've got one, I wow about the fact that I can use the trackers and the smart tags and the earphones and the watch, and the watch Ultra is just lovely. And then suddenly I wake up one day and think, no, I don't want to be locked into this. I'm going back to. I did a post in the MeWe group just this morning, actually, about finding my way back to Pixel, and I'll put a link in the show notes to that so people can have a read of my musings about doing that. Yeah, it's a tricky one. Perhaps I should get a Xiaomi.
Yes,
you give it a try, you never know.
yeah, definitely. What about what they're calling, but not accurately, tri-fold phones? there seem to be Airphone, any thoughts?
Yeah, so I saw that one that I think I saw a little clip on Telegram or X. Chen-Chun Huang, the chairman of NVIDIA, he was presented with one by Huawei.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks as impressive device. I mean, I know Samsung actually launching one as well, or believed to be launching one. But I like to see how it is functionally. I mean, obviously, I did have a Z Fold 3, which I bought for my mum, which she gave up after about 6 months because it was too heavy for her. Mm-hmm. And I did use it myself personally. And it's a good phone. When a screen folds opens out, there is a lot of functionality in a foldable device. But once again, it's like, I didn't open it that much, and then I just used everything on the front screen. So I thought, you know, what's the point? I don't really need it. So I'm probably going to put that in the classifieds to get rid of it because it's just taking space up. And I'm just, obviously, I've got my Xiaomi now. But yeah, the tri-fold device, I like to see functionally how it is. I mean, is it the kind of phone you can fold and put in your pocket, or is it one that, and how would a case work on it and things like that? I'd like to see one in the flesh actually to see what it's like.
Of course.
I did go to the shop this lunchtime actually. And looked at the Fold 7, which is a remarkably thin device. I put it next to the Honor version of their phone, and it is really thin. I thought, you know what? Actually, I could live with a Fold now because it's not as bulky in my pocket as a Fold 3. But I can't justify the price tag, Ted. It's crazily expensive at the moment. And
that's one of the things, isn't it?
Yeah. The cost is quite prohibitive.
You're talking Joe's language. Joe, launch in.
Yeah, so let's go with the tri-fold. I think it's only a matter of time that Honor and Samsung release a device with two folds. It shouldn't be called tri-fold, I agree, though. It should be bi-fold. With how light and thin folds are, I don't think they are going to be that cumbersome. The only thing that worries me is the way one part of it folds outwards, so you have screen always showing. That's the only bit that concerns me. But they are more robust now. And when you think about it, when you have a candy bar phone that opens up in a proper and correct aspect ratio of a tablet, that's really appealing because the folds are great, but the aspect ratio is a bit weird and you do have bars. So the two folding devices does make sense to me.
I mean, I saw something earlier today about apparently some first reviews of the Pixel 10 Fold. And some people have touted it as the perfect foldable phone because the screen actually opens up really to a nice size and in the hand as well. So obviously once they hit the UK stores, I'll have a look at one of them to see what it's like. But yeah, I mean, the tri-fold, it looks impressive. I mean, the fact that they managed to fold it twice like that within the screen, you know, and when it opened, it looked stunning, the screen. I don't know if it's OLED or IPS or whatever panel, but it looked amazing. I thought, well, you know, it's going to be a pricey phone when that lands.
Is it me? Does it always sound like someone saying trifle?
Sorry, that was probably me, my Yorkshire accent.
Irfan, would you be interested in the second-hand market? So say mid-2026, now they're more robust and more durable. Would you get a Fold 7 then, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I very rarely, to be honest with you, Joe, that's a good point. The only phone I ever bought brand new is the S24, which is Mr. Salmon's possession now. All my other phones I've ever bought, second-hand phones, never bought a brand new phone. The S24 was my first ever brand new phone. But yeah, I would definitely be interested. I mean, if the price came down to a good level, I would try it.
Keep an eye on classifieds.
Yeah, I will do. But my... yeah.
A lot of the folding device. I got my Pixel Fold for £700 eventually from one of the people there secondhand. Nothing wrong with it. It's perfect. But that, as you know, was £1,900 or thereabouts. And they do come down. They come down rapidly. And if you just hang about for a year or even like 9 months, the saving is just phenomenal, like £1,000 less than it was to look 9 months later. It's a bit worrying, I suppose, that, you know, things devalue so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have that FOMO thing, though. They want to get the latest thing straight away.
Yeah.
And it's right, you said, Ted, somebody will buy a Fold for £1,700 and then, you know, 3 months later, they'll have it for £1,000. You know, you're knocking a quick £700. When you think, you know, you're taking a hit of £700 on a device, but yeah, I'll gladly take your hand for that price.
Clearly, people
have
got...
And it's literally still in warranty as well, and brand new, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But clearly, people have got too much money. But the fear of missing out thing was linked back to my thing about Pixel and Google, which was one of the things I said in my article that I spoke about just now, and one of the reasons why I end up going back to Pixel, because on a daily basis I read all these articles, particularly in, you know, 9to5 Google and Android Police and Android Authority, and they highlight that they're all big Pixel fans, and they highlight all the latest, greatest stuff. And if I'm using a Samsung or any other Android phone, I feel like I'm missing out. And I want to try these things as soon as I possibly can. So all my Pixel phones are on the QPR 2 beta. And that's my fear of missing out, I suppose. And I suppose that's just what you're talking about with people that have got, you know, they've got, they work hard, they've got plenty of money, and they can afford to lose £700 on a device and try it out. So the benefit is for the rest of us, I suppose.
Most definitely. And one other thing as well, Teddy, is we in the UK do pay a premium for our devices. I mean, the same devices across the pond cost far less.
Except they can't get really half agrees. Of them.
Exactly. Yeah. That agrees me sometimes as well, very much so.
Yeah. But I was watching Joe and Sam last night, and that topic came up again about in America, they can't get any of these interesting devices that we can get here. So I suppose we should feel lucky that we're not having it kind of blocked in that respect by being in America, and we can tinker with these things, even if they are expensive.
Yeah, our access is much better, isn't it? All the Chinese devices at our disposal.
Yeah, definitely. Although your guest last night had an Xperia, which I was quite surprised about. So that was quite good for him, I thought.
Yeah, he's had that a while. He loves it and doesn't want to get rid of it.
Yeah, he's a real tinkerer.
Yes, indeed.
Andrew something.
Fat Produce is what his name on... Right. YouTube. He does actually game streaming rather than like mobile tech, but he's a tech nerd.
Okay.
Like us.
Right. Okay, sorry, Irfan, back to you. What else did you have?
I mean, I use AI every single day in my job. And I mean, as a scene I listened to the podcast here about how Google are stripping some stuff out of like Nest devices and just shoehorning AI in just for the sake of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just upset a lot of people. I mean, for example, somebody says it's a manual thermostat. I just, you know, use my app to do it. why are you putting Gemini into it to control it? It's like there's no relevancy whatsoever. But you can see the bigger picture. They want to basically get everybody into the that system of usage and then start charging them. You know, it's all about making money. But
that's
I mean,
the key thing.
I went to a testing conference a couple of months ago in Edinburgh, where obviously all the vendors that look to, you know, buy from them. Shoe warning, I enter everything. Oh, come have a look at this tool. It does AI for the even now. And oh, look at this, this little AI for you. And it just got really, really overwhelming. I thought, you know what? It does the job now perfectly fine. You don't have to AI into it, but I suppose it's natural progression of the software package that they're trying to offer us. And obviously, you know, with the grasp of that, they're obviously trying to get more money out of us. But yeah, I just got sick of it, to be honest with you. I am sick of it. And I mean, to be honest with you, I use Gemini maybe sometimes, but not all the time. But I mean, at work, Copilot is my daily tool of choice. It's unfortunately something I can't get away from.
Right. I suppose in a professional setting, in a business, a commerce setting, the approach to AI is different to us tinkering about with phones and looking at our phone and saying, yeah, it's all good fun, but I don't really use it. Whereas in a setting like your work one, it's a case of keeping up with what everyone else is doing. Otherwise, you won't have the tools in place for your customers because they'll be expecting it. Is that right?
In a way, Teddy. I mean, obviously, I work for a bank. So obviously, our primary focus is customers, getting them to deposit money with us. So AI is going into things like loan management decisions. So before you go into a branch, you'd apply for a loan. It takes 24 hours to give a decision in the good old days. Now you can have a decision in 5 minutes on your phone. Can I get a loan? Bang. AI checks all your credit history. Yeah, you can have a loan. You can borrow this much. We'd like to transfer money into your account. In half an hour, you can have the funds in your account. It's become so... people are so used to it now that, you know, we're obviously trying to make it better and better going forward. But end of the day, it's all about maximizing profit. I mean, on the back of using AI, you know, staff layoffs are inevitable because we don't need the people there because a machine will do it, you know, instead. And it's harsh reality.
Go on.
I was just saying it's a harsh reality that you just have to just, unfortunately, just get on with it. You can't battle against progress. You have to just go with it.
Yeah. I'm constantly amazed at the stuff that I stumble into on a daily basis. Like last week I was talking about taxing my car and it was literally 2 minutes. I went onto the website, 2 minutes and it's done. And I know that there's no human being in the chain of that. It just worked. And I remember also when I applied for my passport renewal, the same thing was true as well. And every time I use Royal Mail special delivery, the same is true. It's just so incredibly automated. And yes, we probably should be feeling sorry for people losing their jobs in the process, but it also, for us the consumer, it's just brilliant. It just works and you just get such a good clean service from it. Coming from a background where you never knew whether Yoda was going to turn up or not.
I love the mayhem when the systems do go down, though.
Yeah, like this afternoon. Apparently, I don't know if anyone knows this, but this afternoon there was a huge Vodafone outage. The people in the group were talking about it. It did come back eventually. I think it was off for about 3 hours. And the whole of the country, Vodafone seems to have ground to a halt. Did you clock that one?
Yeah, I feel for the guys working in the Vodafone shops because I know how that feels and it's not nice.
I mean, I have a Lebara SIM which obviously runs off Vodafone's network and I didn't really see anything. But it's like things, I mean, to be honest with you, I could easily live without a SIM and just use Wi-Fi calling because I have Wi-Fi at home, 15 minutes, and I'm in the office, I have Wi-Fi there every single day. So I could really live. I mean, I don't even take that many phone calls anyway. And if anybody ever calls me, like my mum mostly, she always does it over Wi-Fi and WhatsApp anyway. So I didn't really see him, you know, and it didn't really bother me at all today. I only found out when I read the chat later on saying, oh, there's been an outage. You didn't realise that.
That'd be a dream. Not have to have a SIM card would be my dream. I would love to be able to do that. I would love for everyone to be on Google Chat and that's the end of it. But that's not the real world, I'm afraid. And talking of which, what's your thoughts about, you know, the world moving towards eSIM, Irfan? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love eSIMs. They're brilliant. I use them all the time. I had them in my Pixel. Although recently I've moved to having a Sky eSIM, and I kid you not. I had an eSIM in the S24, and then I sold that too. So I deleted the eSIM from the S24, and I tried to get an eSIM put into my Xiaomi. I kid you not, gentlemen, it took me... I talked to 17 different people at Sky Customer Services to get this resolved. 17 different people. Oh, every single time I had to go through the same story, I spoke to one, bless the Chinese girl, really timid on the phone, and she managed to sort it out for me. And I've logged a complaint with them because I couldn't understand why it's taking 17 different people to resolve my problem for me.
Damn, you should.
Yeah, I was frustrated, but I finally, because my wife, every time I'm on the phone, she goes, oh, he's on to Sky again, he's complaining again. I'm thinking, yeah, because I want to sort my problem out. But yeah, it's finally solved. I finally resolved it after a week. But yeah, 17 different people. AI at all in that chain at all. It was all actual people I was speaking to.
That's the kind of horror story that I fear with this eSIM thing. Yeah. And because I change my SIM card multiple times a day sometimes with testing different phones. And I just think it's going to be a nightmare for me if they force it on us. But you just have to get on with it, don't you? At that point, I suppose I'll do what most people do, which is only have my SIM card in one phone and have another SIM card to tinker with other ones, or another eSIM to tinker with other ones. But tis a worry, I think. The AI tools, I think there's a difference between the AI tools that are baked into devices, and I found this with the 400 Pro, the Honor 400 Pro, is that, and also with the Motorola Edge 60 Pro, that the Honor and Motorola are trying to bake in their tools into their I guess it's because they want to get you used to using them, they lock you into them, and that's as it is. Now, this kind of update thing on Motorola, frankly, is just rubbish, and you can get better tools out there by bolting on apps, in my view. And I don't know what you two think about this, but it seems to me like the better way is to do what you're doing, Erfan, talking about Copilot and saying, right, I've got Copilot and it doesn't matter what device I put it on or whatever where I'm using it, because it will just install on anything. So why do we need to have all this stuff baked into ecosystems of various OEMs unless they're just trying to lock us in?
It's all about a USP and a unique selling point that they're trying to get. So come to us, we have the best AI or this, that and the other. But it's always the big players that end up winning. Like say, Copilot, you can just literally access that on any device.
Yeah.
That's what's funny. It's not unique because they're all doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on with the news. And the first bit of news is about Ray-Ban glasses. Now, this is your department, Joe, because I've never had a pair of smart glasses. And but I guess one of these days I might do. What's this this Generation 2 thing about?
So it's got two times the battery life of the original one. Other than that, there's not a great deal of difference. But even for that alone, I really want them because it'll be great having extra battery life. I wear mine all summer. Actually, I'm still wearing them now as my main headphones, listening to podcasts on the bus.
Right.
I absolutely love them. And do you know what? Phone calls are really good on them as well. People are shocked when I say, do you know what? I'm talking on my Ray-Bans right now. They're like, oh, really? It's really, really clear. So I love them and really want these ones.
Tried them, Erfan?
No, I did have a Google Lens back in the day.
Right. Google Glass.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked for a software company, we got some in for development purposes. I think it was just something that the MD wanted to spend some money on, some budget. And they're all right, but, back then, obviously, it was all brand new, and the thought of walking around a screen in front of your eye was very exciting. But, I mean, I did see the Ray-Bans. They are actually nice-looking glasses. I wear glasses anyway, varifocal, so I'd have to put special varifocal lenses into them if possible. I might try them one day, see what happens. But I mean, with the British weather, you don't get much sun do you to wear, so you know.
See, Ted, there is another version called the display. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I haven't, no.
So they have a little display in them, which they do look really cool. They're going to be a bit bulkier, obviously. But yeah, you'll have a little display, but apparently people from the outside can't see the display, and it's just to one side. It looks really good for things like maps, for example. That's a really good use case of it. If you're trying to walk to a different place, our pub walk, that'll be good for example. But yeah, they're going to be expensive. They're going to be about £800, I believe. And they're going to launch in the US first, probably going to be 2026 before they hit the UK. And you have to go to a store to get them. You can't get them online, apparently. But
yeah,
interesting.
Fitted, won't you? Yeah.
You have to go for a fitting.
Possibly,
yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I think something like that, yeah.
Which is perhaps what they should have done with the rings as well. But that's another story. I'm interested to try a pair of these, but the same as Airfan, I've got a prescription to be able to see properly, so I'm not sure how that would work out at all. Someone did tell me, I think it was John Tanzer, told me that they've got that all sussed and that you can it's not a problem at all. You can just access that service and get it done. So
yeah, opticians advertise these because you can get lenses in there. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Right. New phones. Now, I'm going to hand over to you, Joe, here, because it's all Honor and Moto. And, oh, no, actually, you've added some other ones since I put that. But
yeah, I've added quite a bit.
Your department. Go for it.
it's Techtober, isn't it? So there's loads going on in China. So the first one you've put on here, I've not actually heard of this one, the Honor X9D. But it's a battery breakthrough of an 8,300 milliamp battery, which destroys the competition. That's just unreal. I mean, I don't know if this one comes to the UK or not. I'll have to look into this. But yeah, it's a rather interesting device. The next one up is our beloved Moto. They're going to be launching the Edge 70, which I think we mentioned on our last show briefly. It's going to be called the Moto X70 Air in China. Now, this is going to be a really thin device. It's slightly thicker than the Air and the Edge at 6 millimeters thick, but it's still going to be very, very slim. But it does have two cameras on it, I think 50 megapixel front facing and two 50 megapixel shooters on the back as well. An OLED screen at 6.67 inches, 120 hertz refresh rate. So this might be an interesting device. It's got the mid-range Snapdragon 7 Gen 4 chipset with 12 gig of RAM and 512 of gigabyte of storage, which is quite good. What the main thing with this, though, it's got a larger battery than the others have, which is 4,800 milliamp hour. So this might be a nice thin device. It'll be interesting. I quite like the green colour.
Me too, Joe. I'm just noticing that green is quite appealing, actually. I do like my colours.
And I like the accent colour around the ring and on the power button, or if it's maybe it's an AI button, I'm not sure. It might be an AI button, because I heard there's an AI button on this one as well. But yeah, it's an interesting device. Hopefully it'll go on the Motivator programme and we'll get hands-on, Ted.
Yeah, hopefully. Thin is in still, it seems.
Yeah, I'm certainly not thin, so I better sort that out. The next one up is a gaming phone by Red Magic, the Red Magic 11 Pro. This is meant to launch on the 17th of October. Now, the exciting thing about this one is it has water cooling, and you can see the cooling system on like a transparent variant. It does look rather cool, a very, very much a gaming phone aesthetic. Again, I don't know when that will come out in the UK, but that will have the 8 Elite Gen 5 chipset. Obviously, being a gaming phone, it needs top end.
I don't think I've ever seen a Red Magic phone anywhere in a shop or in anyone's hands or anything. Have you?
I've seen a silver one once in someone's hand, but that's literally just the once.
I wonder if the water sloshes around the back ring, you know, like it shows it running when it's cool.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, this is rather silly, but someone's made a comment at the bottom. It says, now when the battery catches fire, it will leak on itself and extinguish it.
They're preempting some issues there, aren't they?
Yeah.
I did have a gaming phone some time back, and it had the shoulder buttons on it, the triggers, and I can't remember.
Razer?
No, I have got a Razer phone. It's still here. It's got Lineage on it, but it wasn't that. It was something else. It was a Chinese Nubia
Red. I bet it was a Nubia.
I can't remember.
That sounds like
different,
it.
Nubia. They have two gaming ranges, I think. I can't remember.
Or was it a ROG phone, a ASUS ROG one?
Might have been one of them. Yeah, might have been an ROG. I honestly can't remember, but anyway, they're very lumpish, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are a bit, especially with a cooling system like that in there, it probably will be. But yeah, it's an interesting device for them gamers out there. And if it works well, I wonder if we'll see cooling on other devices in the future. Who knows? Back to Honor. I'm rather excited about this one. It's the Honor Magic 8 Pro. That's due to launch in 2 days' time in China. I'm not sure what a global launch will be. 6.7 one-inch quad curved display with 1.5K resolution. It's got the same 3D ultrasonic fingerprint sensor again, which is great. And it's got the 3D face unlock as well. Now it's got a massive battery, the Chinese variant at least, 7,200 milliamp-hour battery with 120 watt fast wired fast charging. Triple camera again, 50 megapixel for the main and ultra wide. And then a 200 megapixel telephoto. So it's very similar to the 7 Pro, but I'm guessing there's some changes there. But the 7 Magic 7 Pro is a really, really great device. I can imagine this will be excellent. I'll definitely be trying to get hands on this.
It's a bit of a lump, though, isn't it? Again, it's a big phone.
They are. Hmm. They are a bit of a chunkier phone, that's for sure. I'm kind of used to it, though, because when you've got the Ultras of the world, like from Samsung, you get used to that.
Yeah.
Because actually, on my V5 video, I put the 7 Pro next to it, and they're about the same thickness, which is crazy, really, isn't it?
Is the Irfan, is the Xiaomi you've got, the 13T Pro, is that up there with the size of the Samsung Ultras and the like?
It's a 6.7 one-inch screen, so about the same size as the S24 Plus, Ted.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, not quite up as big as those ones, then.
No.
Right.
But, I mean, the Magic does look nice, but to be honest with you, I've gone back to having, prefer my phones having flat screens as opposed to curved displays. I'm not sure that would appeal to me because it's got a curved screen.
Yeah, I agree, because I prefer a flat screen. But one thing I will say for the Honor devices, once you have a case on it, it's very subtle, and it feels like a flat screen, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And the screens are fantastic on all the other devices I've tried. Really, really good screens.
Oh, well, you're sending one to me now, Joe. I might have to get one
now. How much do you reckon the
hero role?
How much do you reckon the Magic 8 Pro will be? What was the Magic 7 Pro pricing wise? £1,000?
I wonder if there will be an increase on it because I think it was
$1,100. It's $1,200 on Amazon.com. That's the 1 terabyte 60 gig variant. So
right. So they're up there. Yeah,
it launched at 898 or 98, something like that. It was less than a grand when it launched.
Okay.
And it launched at 512 gig of storage as standard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wonder if there will be an increase or not. Yeah, we'll see. The next one, you did put a post in MeWe for this one. It's Realme, which I'd love to get hands on because I've never tried a Realme. They've got a partnership with Ricoh with their upcoming the GT 8 Pro. Now, Realme, you do get a lot of phone for your money, really quite high spec for your money with them. So it would be interesting to see what that partnership brings to the camera side of things.
Certainly would.
You've got your eye on a Ricoh, haven't you, Ted?
Well, yeah, the little camera in Camera Creations I have. But when I posted this news about the Ricoh partnership, I think it was Chris Clayton who kind of poo-pooed the whole thing.
And yeah, I thought that was funny.
He reckoned that it wouldn't be worth anything much, really, in terms of... I can't remember what he said now, but he poo-pooed the whole thing anyway. That was it. He said that the interface on the Ricoh GR cameras is pretty shite anyway. And so if they're going to bring that into the Realme phones, then that's it's a loser before it starts sort of thing.
So let's hope their influence isn't on that side of things.
But yeah, well, I did have a Realme in a few years ago again. I can't remember the model name. I did a full review on it, and I quite liked it, actually. I thought it was all right. It was, typically BBK group kind of device, as they tend to be.
Yeah. Like I say, you do get a lot of foam for your money. Because they're normally priced below what a flagship would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting a China launch on the 14th, so tomorrow, apparently.
Okay.
The next one is the Vivos. So the Vivo X300 and X300 Pro have been announced with the new Dimensity 9500 SoC, and it's got upgraded cameras as well. Now they're renowned. I think a lot of people will say it's their favorite camera phone in the last 2 years. I had the X100 Ultra. I loved it. And the X200 Pro was really well received. So be interested to see how these ones go. They're going to have an offer, a 50 megapixel Sony LYT main, 1/1.28-inch sensor, F1.6, but it's F1.57 aperture. It's going to have the Samsung JN1 ultra wide, because JN1's really quite decent as well. And then it's got a new 200 megapixel 1/1.4-inch sensor, which is also from Samsung. So that the telephoto on the Vivo is really what's really appealing. I would love to get hands on the Pro or the Ultra when it comes out. When is it launching? That's a good question, though.
I like the look of the little one, the X300.
Yeah, it's quite dinky, isn't it?
Yeah, 6.31 inch screen, and but it looks like it's packing most of the goodies from the bigger model. Well, a smaller battery, but even so, it looks really nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, a smaller battery, like, but it's not small battery though, is it? It's still of a decent size.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah. And some interesting colours coming in as well. So yeah, watch your space of
Vivo. There's some prices there. The X300, the little one, is gonna be $620 starting price. Plus whatever it is in taxes and whatever, I suppose. But maybe that'll be a $699 for that little one.
That'll be £900 UK, that. That's £900 UK sterling, guaranteed.
Yes. The Dimensity 9500, though, Joe, I've heard some positive things being said about that.
Yeah, I have as well. I mean, everyone who tested the last version said it was very efficient. The battery life was fantastic on the 200 Pro. So yeah. I expect very much the same with this one.
Cool.
And then the last one I'll go on to just quickly touch on. The naming is something to be spoken about on another time, but the Xiaomi 17, 17 Pro and 17 Pro Max came out. I think that actually was last month, the back end of last month, was it? But they have hit 1 million sales in record time. They've really done really well with these devices. Now, what's appealing is the Pro and Pro Max have that second screen on the back.
Yay, great fun.
Yeah, I really like the look of it. And pound for pound, the specs are amazing. Obviously, specs don't say it all. What the real world use will be like is another thing. I'd love to get hands on one myself, because it's a bit gimmicky, but they've even made a case that goes on it, and it makes it like a handheld gaming device.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's quite interesting.
I did have a Mi Ultra actually back in the day, which had a back screen. I think it was the first time they launched it with a back
11
screen.
Ultra,
it
yeah.
11 Ultra, yeah. It was a good device. It was a big beast, though. It was a big phone.
It's nice.
Yeah, I want it, though. I like the green again. I think about green phones for me. I do like them.
Joe, me and you share the same fascination with colours, and yes, the green does look very appealing once again.
Yeah, they are good. Have you seen, obviously, in the show notes, I use green as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, and quickly, the software news. Samsung's One UI 8.5 update is allegedly going to adopt Pixel's QPR updates as well. So what I was saying earlier about fear of missing out going to Pixels, maybe it won't be so bad for me. I can stick with Samsung and hope to get fast as lightning QPR updates as well, sticking with Samsung. So there's that around. And also, I mentioned Lineage just now in relation to the Razer phone. They've released something this week, which is Android 16 update for over 100 devices. Now, the last time I tried to change a lineage version on my on a phone. I really, really tried hard to do it myself, but I just couldn't do it, and I had to send it off to Mike Warner to do. So when this is out properly, I might I'll have a go. But I'm guessing that I'll probably fail miserably. And the last bit of news is that there has been a new version of Wear OS released for Pixel watches. And your Pixel watch, if you've got one, unless you've got the original, the first one, should get this Wear OS downloading to it now. So Malcolm Bryant, our resident a developer and Wear OS guru, I asked him earlier today if he would record us a little segment to just introduce what that's about and what the changes are and any annoyances for him as well. So we'll plug him in now. And so there you go, Malcolm, take it away.
Hi, Ten Joe. You asked me for some thoughts on the new Wear OS 6 release that's just come through on all Pixel watches except the first gen. The first thing to say is that it's great to see Google finally putting more effort into wearables to be more competitive with the Apple Watch. Personally, I tend to value features more than pretty interfaces, but even I have to admire what they've done with Material 3 Expressive in this latest release. It's full of nice touches. The colour schemes, the rounded design of the text and buttons to fit the curved screen, the way the default apps follow the design language and so on. So bravo for all those things. Inevitably, my own view is influenced by how much work each new OS version creates for me. And I've had to make changes to a lot of my apps for this Wear OS 6 release. One niggle that I've always had with the Pixel Watch still remains, even with the latest Pixel Watch 4. There's no way to get incoming notifications to display automatically when they arrive. You have to tilt your wrist at just the right moment, which I find pretty annoying. I had an app appropriately named Pixel Watch Notification Fix to overcome this problem, but the Wear OS 6 update has irretrievably broken it. And I've been trying to figure out an alternative solution using a different app called Wear Notification Helper. But that's just me. For most people, Wear OS 6 is a welcome update, and the good news is that everyone with the Pixel Watch 2 onwards should have it now. That's it. Back to you guys now for the rest of the podcast.
Poor old Malcolm. It's always up one and down two for him. He's these lovely new Material 3 Expressions things going on, and then they bugger up his applications, and he's got to start again with a load of stuff, particularly that notification fix. I do notice with my watch, I've got it on now, if I get a notification, you are quite lucky to just happen to turn your wrist at the time it's there and you see it. So there is that, and I hope that he does find something else out to sort that out, because I'll certainly download it and install it. Any thoughts, anyone?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear from a developer's point of view, because the way he started, how upbeat, and I love this, this is great. However, it really messes things up. Poor Malcolm.
Yeah,
developers always, the last ones, they never get, you know, the thanks for the stuff they come with. People just think, oh, it's an update, why is it not working? And obviously, like you say, it's one step forward, two steps back. But to be honest with you, I've never had a Wear OS device. I've basically... In terms of smartwatches, I've always have a Garmin watch because I'm quick by being to my sports.
Right.
So I have an Epix Pro Gen 2, which with a lovely OLED screen. And it, to be honest with you, this watch has always worked with all my devices. Never had an issue with it. And the Garmin app that they have on Android is brilliant. It's so functional. It's even, in my opinion, better than the Samsung Health app and the Apple Health app. It just has everything in there.
So, super. That's me. Okay, well, I would encourage anyone that has got a watch, a Wear OS watch, to download this anyway, because the Material 3 Expressive thing, it, stuff is just really, really pretty now. And I know that looks aren't everything, but it's just, it's been really nicely thought out, as it has been done on the Pixel phones, so worth a look. Say no more. Thanks a lot, Malcolm, for that contribution. That's great to have you in the mix. Joe, over to you for Joe's throws and your magic pen.
Yes, my magic pen. really excited about this. So as you know, despite having a laptop, a tablet, so I use my mobile devices for almost everything. So I recently purchased a Magic Pen on Classified, and I love it. Thank you, Andy Moon, for putting it up on there for me. I filled an unboxing with a quick setup and first look. If anyone's interested, I've put a link in there for the two or three people that may vaguely be interested.
I watched it. I saw it. I did think it looked nice. It would look even nicer if it worked on my 400 Pro as well, but that's another story.
Yeah, they only bring them out for the foldables, sadly, because it doesn't actually work with their tablets either. There's a different one for that, sadly. It is lovely. It feels nicely built, as it should do for a regular retail price of 80 quid. I only paid 40 because I think Ali got it free with his V5, so thanks for that. Sounds stupid and nerdy, but I love the sounds that come from it. Now, I don't know if this is going to work. Stay with me. There's a discrete USB at the top that you push back, and it magnetically pops back. So let's see if I can make that sound for you here. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Satisfying.
Yeah, it's very satisfying. There's a lovely pleather case, which matches the free case that comes with the V5. Because I've got the black variant, and that's got a magnet as well, and I'll attempt to show you that. Hear that?
Yeah. Yes. Clunk.
Yeah, very satisfying. and the last sound I'm going to show you is when you put the pen into the case. It's got another matte magnet, and it just pings in nicely. Here we go.
Hey. Is that clicking?
So, yeah. They call it ASMR, MR, don't they? I think.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
I only wish, though, that you could charge it in the actual case itself, like the Ray-Bans and Buds do, because it is annoying that you have to charge it from a USB at the top. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know how much I will use it, but it's nice to have, and it's especially for the larger canvas inside. Are you listening, Samsung?
Yeah, because on the outside it works too as well, yeah.
It does indeed, yeah, both screens. Yeah. So it's nice to have, definitely. Mm. I'll be quite brief on this. So moving away from pens and onto phones, iOS is still continuing to frustrate me. When I've mentioned my gripes to Apple users, so a lot of the guys at work are Apple users, they always reply with, oh yeah, that is quite annoying. So I'm not just being anti-Apple, the things I'm saying do annoy them as well. So I've mentioned it all on here in the last show, but my voice was a bit quieter, wasn't it, I believe. So apologies for that on the last show. Hopefully it's more clearer this time. So deleting notifications one by one, unless they've been there for over 24 hours, is very annoying for me. I might look at disabling some of the notifications, actually, on some of the social media apps as a result of that, because it's just really frustrating. Closing down apps in the background one by one is really frustrating as well. And despite it not being necessary, I know it's not necessary, but it is to me. I know that's sad, but I've got OCD and I want everything closed down.
I'm with you.
And then the last one, well, not the last one, there's other stuff, but I won't mention everything. Of course, it's the poor navigation in comparison to Android devices, in my opinion. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I don't think there's a need for a forward gesture. I think you can intuitively touch exactly where you want to go, and there's no need for it. I would rather have a back gesture on the right, especially being right-handed. I'm going to make a video of my experience with the early experience of the 17 Pro Max. Now, it won't all be negative. There is some positives. There is things I like about it. So watch this space. I'll bring that out. And then the last thing I was going to mention is I sent my Moto Edge 60 Pro back to Moto the day of the last show, actually, and I've not received or heard anything yet. So hopefully I still am a motivator. I'm going to chase that up. But I was promised the Razer Ultra next, so I'm rather excited to try that. So hopefully that comes through.
They're lagging behind a bit. The lady that is our link person there, I think she works part time and possibly from home, because when I email her, there's always a long delay between that and getting a reply. And she promised me the next one at the end of September as well. So she's like 2 weeks out of date. Perhaps she's on holiday.
Yeah, maybe. I'll chase her up for us, Ted. I'll get a result.
Okay.
Hopefully.
You go for it. So any thoughts on iOS? You didn't really have much experience apart from the 3GS phone, did you?
That's correct. But I mean, both my kids have phones. I mean, my son has a 14, my daughter has a I think it was the 16, the pink one. Right. I just can't get on with it, Ted. The thing that really bothers me is that you can't transfer files either, like using Bluetooth. I mean, I know they have AirDrop and all that stuff, but I just don't like the gestures and everything. It just bugs me. I like Android. Android is nice and easy to use and, in my mind, very simple. Very simple. I just don't like it.
But I think you're right, Joe. There is positive stuff with Apple, I have to say. Being a very anti-Apple person generally, you've got to take your hat off to some of these innovations and some of these ideas they've got, most of which get adopted eventually by other people, other OEMs. And there are some great ideas. I came up with a list of them, I think, on the last show or the one before. Things like the dynamic island and the shutter button. I know that wasn't their idea initially, but I quite like that, and the way in which a lot of those things work together, the mute button on the side, and just that the stacked widgets, you know, that it was just great. You've got to say that they come up with great ideas. It's just, I think, the same as Irfan is saying, and you, Joe, it's just not my kind of operating system, and I like Android so much that there's no way I'm ever going to consider switching. But interesting to see what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you say, people do copy, and on a very hot on copy in Apple, they take all the good stuff from there. Because the Dynamic Island, they have a very similar thing, and they've nailed it, actually done a really good job of it. And it looks like Magic OS 10 is going to have the liquid glass style in some of its UI. So, I quite like that, actually. I thought I was going to hate it, but I do like it. Mm-hmm. So it'd be good to see that on the devices as well.
Yep. There's some theming already on a devices, which you can get into now with the latest updates, which gives you glass icons. I've got them on the front screen of my 400 Pro.
Nice.
And it's baked into their own theming thingy. They've just copied it. But actually, it works quite well. It's quite nice. And Samsung are doing that as well through the Goodlock store. Yes. Indeed. Talking of the Honor 400 Pro and leaping down the show notes, I did talk about the differences and the thoughts I had compared to the Motorola Edge 60 Pro. I've got the Edge 60 Pro here, which I also got in to review. I had my SIM card in it yesterday, actually, and gave up because it didn't feel as though it was balancing very nicely in my hand. I felt it was too big for its thickness, too tall and too wide for its thickness. Now, that might also be a thing for what you were saying earlier, Joe, about the 70, the very thin one, the Edge 70. So I don't know how well balanced that's going to be, but so I really want to use the Moto stuff, but the Honor, and the whole desktop thing for me is one of the things, the whole Smart Connect thing. You just don't get that with an Honor device. And also, the counter argument is that with Motorola, you don't get anything of an always-on display unless you add it by software. So there are pros and cons all the way down here. My list of a few things that I thought about are as follows. The Honor screen, the Honor 400 Pro screen is just stunning. I never thought I would say that because I've always thought the POLED on the Moto screens is just stunningly good. I have to say there's something magical about the Honor screen, which is just amazing. It's just better and sharper and brighter and everything about it. Really, really good. It's also got a nicer shape in the hand. Irfan, you were talking just now about flat screens. Well, this has got a slightly, subtly curved edge to it, and it just because of that, it feels nicer. Now, the Honor 7 Pro, the Honor Magic 7, I think I'm right in saying, I've not had one, but I think that they've gone more flat with flat edges, haven't they, Joe?
The Honor Magic 7 Pro, so it is still curved, but it is so subtle. You hardly notice it.
What about the edges of the actual device, though? Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's all.
No, it's not as it's not as curved as the.
No,
it doesn't feel as nice in the hand. Yeah.
So my second point is that I think it feels really nice in the hand. It's the right shape for me, and it just works. Even though it's quite big, it just worked really well, better than the Motorola Edge 60 Pro does, I think. The chipset in the Honor 40 Pro is better. It's faster. You can tell across the UI it's faster. The Edge 60 Pro is not bad, don't get me wrong, but it's just better. The speakers are better. The charging specifications are better. I know that the 60 Pro's got 90 watt charging, but the 400 Pro's got slightly better. And then, as I said earlier, you've got all the Smart Connect stuff with the Motorola, which the Honor system doesn't have, not in the same way, by any way, shape or form. They've really launched headlong into this whole PC connectivity and television stuff and cable stuff, and it works really, really well. The battery is bigger also as well. I've been testing that this week. The Honor 400 Pro battery, even though the Edge 60 Pro battery is bigger technically, the Honor 400 Pro battery lasts longer. There's something, again, magical they do with that. It just shouldn't last longer than the Edge 60 Pro, but it does. And they've optimised, I think, somehow to make that happen. And my only other point really is about the always-on display. With the Honor 400 Pro, you get an always-on display. It's not the best always-on display in the world, but at least it's there. And also, when you get notifications in, the whole of the screen lights up. So it's sat on my side of my bed or on the side of my coffee table watching the television, and when a notification comes in, you get the whole screen light up. With most devices, you get an edge lighting or a icon lighting up or a quick flash of or sometimes a bar across the screen or whatever it is, but not usually the whole screen lighting up really bright. You can't possibly miss that there's something coming in, and I really, really like that. And you know, that with lift to wake and the face unlock is really good. I don't think I need a 3D face unlock, thank you. It works really, really well. So those are the differences, I think. I don't know how that sits with your experience, because you've just recently had both devices in as well, Joe.
Yeah, very much the same. And this isn't to poo-poo the Edge 60 Pro, because it's a fantastic device. Like, the screen is beautiful, but the Honor is that little bit better. It does feel a little bit better in the hand. The chipset definitely is far superior. You notice it in the camera as well while using that. Mm-hmm. But pretty much the same experience. Bang on, really, Ted.
Yep, good. Okay, well, that's the Honor 400 Pro. The Edge 60 Pro, I'll come to another time, because I've got quite a lot of notes to fly through with that one. In fact, we were talking about possibly doing an extra show next Monday to mop up some of these bits we've got here. So perhaps we'll do that, because there's quite a lot going on, which we've skipped over. So anything else you'd like to raise or talk about, either of you, before we leap towards photo of the week?
No, not really.
I think I'd like to go into the Chinese devices, but we'll get into that maybe the next show.
Well, we've got a bit of time if you want to. Which particular one did you want to have a look at, or are you happy to wait?
I'm happy to wait. Okay. Because I'll waffle on too long otherwise.
Okay, photo of the week then. It is, and my choice of photo of the week this time is my first slide by Maticek, which he took with an Apple iPhone 15 Pro Max on the telephoto setting. And it's a photograph, a simple enough photograph in a sense, of his daughter learning her first slides on a surf skateboard, whatever that is. It looks like a skateboard to me, but apparently it's a surf skateboard. And I just loved this. I thought it was great. It was I think we need more people shots in the group, I think. And it's a really good portrait of the little girl's struggle. It's got just the right amount of depth of field. So her hands on the ground and her feet are slightly out of focus, but the helmet, which is beautifully coloured. The sun has caught it from the right hand side, and it just worked really, really well. The top of the fence is also in the crop, so you can see what's behind it, which gives it some context. I think it works better like that than it would have done with just the wood behind her. And it's just a really good little action shot. She doesn't show her face, but it doesn't need to. It's a really good portrait, and I really like it. Irfan, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good shot, actually. I didn't realise it was, like, it gets clear as you look at it, because obviously, like I said, it blurs at the beginning and it gets clear at the top from the helmet. But yeah, it's a really nice shot, is that? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Joe?
Yeah, it's a great action shot. And like you mentioned, the pops of colour with the orange helmet, the pink on the hands. She's well protected, which is nice to see, because it looks rather dangerous. But yeah, it's a lovely, lovely shot.
Really good. Well done, Matichek. PSC Photos. We're going to have any day now, we're going to have the September Photograph of the Month running. So watch out for that one, everyone. And head across to the PSC Photos group for all of that. Links in the show notes to all of that. PSC Classifieds, where we pick one pick each from the group at the Classifieds. The Classifieds is a closed members-only group, so if you want to join our Classifieds group, if you're listening to this, you'll need to email me, and we'll talk about that, and we'll decide whether we can let people in or not to protect the members there. So, yeah, one pick each. So you're first, Joe.
Yeah, so if somebody else's money, I'd take Paul Garner's On a Magic V5 at £1,099. Obviously, I've already got one, so I'd send it down to you, Ted.
Yeah, I'd love to have a play with one, but I can't afford 1,300 quid for a phone. But 1,099 is starting to get a bit better. When it's down to 700, I'll get it. I'm going to pick David Henderson's Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, 512 gigabyte version in natural titanium. Excellent condition, case, glass screen protector from new, purchased from Samsung himself in May 24, 510 quid. Or he's willing to consider a swap for an iPhone 15, 16, 17 Pro Max, equally with 512 gigabytes with cash where appropriate. And I think for £510, that is actually a pretty good offer myself. So that's my pick.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Irfan? I saw a picture of Paul Garner's phone, and that gold it's pinging. It's popping. It's a really nice looking phone, but obviously Joe already had got first dibs on that. So I'd probably have a look at Ashok Pachauri's Pixel 10 Pro. I do like that blue colour. It's quite nice. And not had a Pixel since the 7 Pro. I'd like to see how far they've got with that and what good things about it. So probably Pixel 10, yeah, for me.
Yeah, we are again, Irfan, with the colours. That Dawn Gold is beautiful, honestly.
It is.
That's what I hoped I was going to get, but I got black.
I reckon we've got time to do one of our extra little items we have, discussion topics. And I'm going to pick the last one that you put in there, Joe. I know we're not prepared for this particularly, but it'll be interesting to just throw it around for a few minutes. It's about reviewing phones and the emphasis on cameras, isn't it?
Yeah, because you popped it in. It was actually in the chat, wasn't it, on MeWe? You said how it's funny how putting a phone through its paces almost always means testing the camera these days. Phones do much more than just taking photos. Now, I agree because, I mean, I make content and I always feel like I have to talk about the cameras. And even if I haven't really got, if I'm not ready to or I haven't got much to say yet, I feel like I have to. Because it seems what people want. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. The reason I put it in was because I just get fed up with it, frankly. It's that you go to YouTube to look at a review of a camera, a phone. There you go. I'm at it now myself. To look at a phone review. And half or more than half of the review is just about the cameras. And it's like, oh, I don't want to see about the cameras. I'm not interested in that. Now, I know that some people are interested in the cameras from inside phones, fair enough, but it's just so heavily weighted the other way. And particularly when you get into something like, you know, that is a traditionally camera-centric phone, like an Xperia, for example. You go and look on YouTube at Xperia reviews, and they're like 90% to do with the camera, regardless of the wonderful other things that the Xperia phones can do. So it just annoys me, and I skip over it. And if you look at on YouTube these days, you see a little graph of where the popular bits are. And I kid you not, I see very often that the peaks of the popular bits are not where the camera stuff is. They're the other bits. And so that made me, yeah, I'm not alone, I don't think. Irfan, your thoughts?
No, I agree, Ted. I mean, like I said, I've got a 2-year-old phone, you know. I don't need the latest, greatest. It takes brilliant, absolutely fantastic pictures.
Yeah,
and like you, I need a phone to do the things I need to do. Camera, to me, the secondary objective. It takes nice photos, brilliant, but it's not something that I look forward to when I go to see a new phone. I don't look at what, you know, how good the camera is. That to me, that doesn't matter. I totally agree with you, Ted. Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think it's a case of each, you know, company try to sell the latest and greatest to the person, you know, fear of moving out, have an extra 10 megapixels on your camera, you know, and it reels people in, and that's why the sales are so. I mean, like my daughter's old phone, I mean, she's got 16 now, 15, takes brilliant pictures, an Apple phone, and when the 17 came out, I said, are you going to buy it? It's got a better camera. She goes, no, because my camera on this phone's really good. Why do I need to buy a new one?
Yeah, very sensible.
Just straight away.
Yeah. So, Joe, Camera Creations plug here, because, you know, if you're going to want to really get into photography, it should be. The argument, of course, is that the phone is the thing that you're going to have with you. And this is a discussion we have on the Camera Creations podcast, really, is that I particularly am trying to find something that you can just stick in your pocket and carry with you, so it will always be with you. And that is. That's what's becoming the challenge. In this week's Camera Creations podcast, incidentally, folks, we're going to have a discussion about. It's not this week, is it? It's next week, isn't it, Joe? Yeah, it's next week. We're going to have a discussion about street photography and that very topic of having a phone small enough so it's not kind of in people's faces when you're out and about. But yeah, your phone is what's going to be in your pocket. I do get it from that side, but I just think that the emphasis on reviews is so stacked heavily the other way. There, I've said it.
Yeah, and no, I think you are right, Ted. Because when you, I mean, a lot of content is actually this phone versus this phone's camera. Just purely camera reviewing, which I get when Petapixel do that, because that's their thing. But when other YouTubers are doing purely that, it does seem too weighted. So I think the commentary around, you know, the Samsung Ultras, the amazing things that phone can do, but it doesn't really get much on the reviews. It doesn't talk about it enough, really, unless you find a top tips video from someone.
Yeah. Okay,
definitely.
We agree then. Perhaps we'll raise this again when there's someone that cares about photography in phones again, because I don't think the three of us are particularly that concerned about it. Steve Litchfield.
Maybe Gavin can convince us.
Gavin would. Well, and Steve Litchfield, he'd disagree.
They do appeal to me. The cameras are important. But I agree with you that it's heavily weighted. I think it needs to be a bit more well-balanced, because the devices, like you say, do amazing things. I mean, one thing that is creeping in, actually, is the AI side of things. It can do this AI thing, it can do that AI thing. Mm-hmm. That's starting to creep in a bit.
Yeah, so that's at least something a bit different, even though that's getting a bit boring now. But the times I look at a review and there's no mention of an always-on display, for example. Now, I know that I've got a bit of a hobby horse about that particular one, but I sometimes hunt and hunt to find, come on, has it got an always-on display or hasn't it? And they don't actually tell you if it has or not. Or how good the speakers are. GSM Arena are good at telling you how good the speakers are, but some are not.
Yeah.
They just ignore the sound completely. And yet 75% of their reviews are about the poxy cameras. Anyway, there you go. I've had my say. Let's draw
another Ted rant there in the bag.
It's the verdicts. They say because this one's got a better camera, which is subjective anyway,
yeah,
that makes it a better phone, just purely because of the camera.
Watch out, we'll get letters now. Phone Show Chat, yeah. UK. PhoneShowChat.uk is our website. That's where you'll find links to all the stuff we've been talking about today. If you get lost, you can find it all at tedsalmon.com. And PodHub UK is still there, of course, which is hosted by Steve Litchfield still. So if you get lost, it's all there as well at PodHub UK. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, although we might be back in 1 week's time. Watch this space if we feel as though we've got enough to have another show. So Joe and I will pop in next Monday and do that. But if not, it'll be a fortnight's time. Coffees. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/Ted Salmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. So there, you've got no excuse for not buying us coffees. Irfan, thanks a lot for popping on. Hope you'll come back and join us again some other time soon. Any last thoughts from you?
No, thank you very much for the invitation, and I look forward to my next invitation in the future. But yeah, great. I really enjoy myself. I really enjoy it. Thank you for being so gracious to me.
Great to chat with you. Really nice to talk to you. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, you've been an excellent guest, and I love having all the guys from the MeWe community, so yeah. Look forward to the next one.
Okay.
I look forward to your next phone you're going to put on MeWe ads as well, Joe. We'll keep a lookout for you now. I think this might be a blossoming relationship we've started now.
Well, quickly, before that, I'll try not to buy phones now. I try not to. Some of the phones I've got at the moment are from Honor and from Moto. But that doesn't mean I won't be buying phones. I just try not to.
Excellent. Okay, thanks again to Malcolm for chipping in, and we'll see you on the next one. Take care, everyone. Cheerio.
Bye-bye.
Bye.